Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast on a Wednesday night, September 18, 2013. I am Dre, he is Jay, and we are here to do a little recap week two of the NFL action, and we'll be picking at the end of the show the Thursday night matchup as Andy Reid goes back to Philadelphia. We will get to that later on. Jason, how you doing? What we got in store for our recap tonight?
Well, we get to talk about how we even, you know, how we're bringing our percentages closer to the middle. You know, the longer we go, we'll start to all start creeping back towards 500. You know, and after the week you had in week one and the week I had in week one, you know, we're both now starting to see the numbers creeping back towards center. I managed to still pull out a couple of extra games on you this week, so I think it's an 11 game lead after 2 weeks, which is something I don't think I've ever had before. And we all know I don't handle prosperity well with the picks. So I'm going to enjoy this while it lasts. I'm not going to do any undue gloating. But as long as you want to keep picking the Jacksonville Jaguars, you are more than welcome.
Yeah, he's the lucky man. I'm the angry black man, and there's plenty of reasons for that. Anyone that picks Jacksonville the first 2 weeks of the year should be angry. So I have a lot of things to be angry about, and that's probably right at the top of the list because I don't know what the hell I was thinking. But yeah, that's what I get for trying to give Jacksonville a little love, a little, you know, hey, Maurice Jones-Drew is back. He's, you know, they're ready to get off on a good foot, get off to a good start. You know, even if Blaine Gabbert was starting one of the games, I was trying to get cute and get an upset there. And then Chad Henne going for the second game. I know he's not an all-pro, but I think he's a lot better than Blaine Gabbert. So I was hoping that would, you know, result in a victory in that second game at Oakland, which is not a great team. Jacksonville's at Seattle this week. I am officially through picking Jacksonville. I mean, you know, maybe not for the whole year. I don't think I'll go against them the rest of the season in every pick, but I'm definitely not going with them this week. I'll tell you that much. I've finally learned my lesson, I think.
Well, I think it's safe to say that last minute and a half is probably the most Jaguars talk we're going to get in for the rest of the season. I don't see the Jaguars being in any of our highlight games. In fact, you almost left the Jaguars completely out of the last show. I don't know if that was a unintentional mistake, but I see what you're trying to do. Just keep the Jaguars completely off the radar. So, you know, we've extended the format here to 30 minutes for the recap because last week went a little too quick. So it does give us the chance to waste 3 minutes on the complete shit fest that is the Jacksonville Jaguars. So bravo, guys. I saw they had the big Tim Tebow rally turnout with 15 people. Boy, I mean, that's pretty bad. I mean, it's worse for Tebow than anything else, but wow, that's probably the most Tebow talk that we're going to do all year, too. So we're just knocking these all out right away.
I was about to say, 3 minutes on the Jaguars, now a minute on Tebow's not even in the NFL anymore. That's quite the use of our 30 minutes. We're off to a rip-roaring start here.
Well, we have to hit all the demographics. You know, all we have to do now is spend the next 26 minutes talking about the Jets. And then we'll be right up there with ESPN. Yeah, see?
Talk about Sanchez. How about that mustache? Ooh, boy, that's some ugly-looking facial hair right there. Boy, I tell you.
No, I didn't catch any of that.
And that's the end of the Mark Sanchez talk. Now, I don't know if they're talking about that or not. I'm just saying, you know, everything about him seems to be brought up on the ESPN shows, whether it's his hair or his mustache or anything else. Actual NFL Week 2 talk now. Reading over your recap on the blog there, you had your list of the least impressive 2-0 teams. to start out this season, and you went through Chicago, New England, and Houston, and maybe if you want to elaborate a little bit on what you think of those teams and why you think they're so unimpressive so far.
Yeah, if I had to rank those three right now from least impressive to least impressive, is that most least, you know, the least impressive team, and I stated my case, is definitely Houston. Not impressed with what Houston's been doing out there. I don't even have them in the playoffs. I am not, before the season started, and I know they're 2-0, but they haven't really done too much to make me think that they're going to get over that hump. Your new favorite team, San Diego, played them really tough, and I want you to elaborate that on a little bit later. That was the one nugget that I pulled out of your recap this week, was the just love that you were just flowering upon the San Diego Chargers. And then they beat Tennessee, and, you know, you live down there, so you probably were listening to that game, and second week in a row you've had to listen to losing picks because the Titans found a way to screw you over. And I can just imagine, I mean, I could feel the rage coming through in your blog this week, but Houston's got to be one of those infuriating teams. I've picked against them twice, against the spread, won both. So they are 2-0, but they are 0-2 against the spread. So I'll thank them for that. But I'm, you know, the Patriots, just the Patriots have issues. That's a good team that's just not quite hit its stride. You know, my love of Brady and his rapport with his receivers is well documented. I won't go over that again. And then the Bears, probably the most least impressive team. I mean that in a good way, because, I mean, yes, they had two good wins at home, but, you know, two come from behind victories. Offensive line is protecting Jay Cutler a little bit better, although, you know, they did have a sack fumble for a defensive touchdown against them from Minnesota. But that was a crazy game either way. I mean, you have a kickoff return for a touchdown. You have a defensive score going each direction. So that all kind of ends up canceling each other out. And then you have Cutler with the game-winning touchdown pass late again. A little more optimistic about their performance than I was about the Patriots or the Texans. Just, I'm not sold. There are some 1-1 or 0-2 teams that have way outpaced what those three have put out there so far.
I only picked on the Bears giving up that sack to Jared Allen because I mentioned go ahead and block Jared Allen in the preview when we both picked the Vikings to cover that spread. But to be honest, yeah, that was the only time they were able to sack Cutler. No sacks for the Bengals in week one. Only one sack of Cutler by the Vikings in week two. That's not just a little bit of improvement. That's fucking awesome. I can't believe that
those,
Chicago Bears offensive line.
Those are not sad sack defensive lines. I mean, Cincinnati and Minnesota can get after the quarterback.
Yeah, those are two of the better D-lines the Bears are going to play, and so far so good. So, yeah, that's kind of eye-raising as far as I'm concerned. So let me get into Houston a little bit, since you talked about how angry I had to have been to be listening to that game. My anger comes from any team that has has the actual talent to be a lot better than they are, and then they go out there and produce some shit like that. It's not new at all for me to get angry, you know, in the blog at a team that has a bad performance, but it happens. You pretty much when I think a team is a lot better than what they're producing on the field. And what I was hearing in that game, listening, and, you know, backed up by the highlights when I was able to watch the recap of that game, it was just a team that seemed like they had the game in hand and sort of took their foot off the pedal. And to do that for the Tennessee Titans offense, which is so pop gun. It's such a little kid's offense with Jake Locker barely able to get the ball down the field. His receivers, you know, you got the possession receiver in Nate Washington. That's fine. He's not going to break the game open ever. He can barely make it past, you know, 15 yards downfield. both of the two kids are very inconsistent, Kenny Britt and Kendall Wright. You can't count on either one of them to have a big game, but they did because for some unknown reason, the Texans decided to play the Titans really tight and really tough for three quarters and then got to the fourth quarter and just completely backed off and let them do whatever they wanted to do. It was the combination of letting the Titans offense do that and then the Houston offense takes the field to give an answer. You know, you're up six. You let the Titans drive 99 yards on you to get a touchdown and take the lead in your home stadium. And the Texans' response to that was to go out there on the field on offense, get sacked twice, run Arian Foster for a loss of 4 yards. One of the sacks didn't count because there was offsetting penalties. And then a pick six. And I'm like, that's your reaction? This is the great AFC South monster team, the Houston Texans. They're supposed to be so dominant, one of the best contending teams in the AFC, and that's your response to letting the Titans drive 99 yards? That's what you decided to go out and do? I was just flabbergasted. So any other team that does that, that you know might be mediocre, and you think they are mediocre anyway. You didn't, like you said, you did not have the Houston Texans making the playoffs. So it's the anger is different coming from me because I think they are very good. I think they are the class of that division, and I think and I actually was considering taking them as my Super Bowl pick in the AFC before deciding on Cincinnati. But that anger wouldn't have been there for me if they were just if they were a middling team as you think they are. So that's why you don't have any anger at all. You actually don't have much anger, you know, no matter what, because it's just football. You don't take it nearly as seriously as I do, and that's a good thing. But that's where my anger came from with Houston. Just unbelievable.
Well, I don't think they're garbage in Houston. I mean, I think they're upper middle end. I mean, I think they could easily be one of those 9-7 or 10-6 type teams that just barely misses out on the playoffs. It's not like I have them going 5-11. But, you know, we're 2 weeks in. I mean, but really there's only two teams to me that are standing out as, you know, just the class teams. And usually by now you have a better read on it. There's so much just mediocrity. I think beyond Denver and Seattle, really the only two teams. I mean, if they had the Super Bowl tomorrow, that's probably it. But it's only week two just finished. But there's, you know, like New Orleans is about a minute and a half away from being 0-2, and they're 2-0 right now. You have, this is scary to think, but we're closer to having Buffalo and Tennessee as 2-0 teams than we are some of these 1-1 or 0-2 teams going the other way, and those are not very good teams. So I think it's a little premature to start, you know, crowning their ass.
But that's why we always laugh every year at the ESPN Network going off on some team that goes 0-2. What's wrong with ... There's always somebody. This year it appears to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. But there's always somebody that starts off 0-2 that they think the Giants are another one that's getting that treatment a little bit. The sample size is two games. And that's why we always laugh at it, because it's two fucking games. And people, you know, are losing their shit and pulling their hair out and stuff. You know, you say Tennessee might be 2-0, you know, if not for a few seconds. And you mentioned, you know, a few other teams that fit that same mold as well. San Diego could be 2-0. You talked about my love for the Chargers, which I didn't even really read it that way until I went back and read what I wrote. And, yeah, I guess I do kind of I am a little flowery in my prose there for the Chargers. But I just call it out like I see it. As when I saw them against Philadelphia, that it just struck me that hey, that's what Brady and the Patriots used to look like. Wow, how about that? So, again, not saying that they're, you know, going to go to the Super Bowl, or not trying to predict any greater achievement for them, but there's a handful of teams that look like they have their stuff together on offense, and I think that's so big now in today's NFL. You can go into a season lacking on defense and just, you know, try to outscore and play catch up and work it that way. Green Bay isn't, you know, perfect on defense at all, but because they have their offense together, because Aaron Rodgers is at the top of his game, they're 1-1, but with a bullet. Everyone, I'm sure, still thinks that they're the class of the NFC North, even though the Bears are 2-0. Consequently, the Redskins, who ironically the Packers played, now that's a little bit of a different situation. Their defense is atrocious so far through two games. But nonetheless, if the offense was clicking, if Robert Griffin III was clicking, maybe they could have, you know, got into a gunfight and outscored Philadelphia or Green Bay. They had a chance to actually beat Philadelphia. They had their onside kick away from having a chance to actually beat the Eagles in week one. It's so much about your offense, more so now than ever before. You get your offense together, you get that shit together, you get the scoring points portion of your team together. Just score points. Just get yardage and score points and worry about everything else later. It really makes a completely big difference. When you talk about certain teams that are between mediocre and good, the difference seems to be those teams that are mediocre don't have their offenses completely together yet, and that's why they're not able to make that next step right now. Take the Patriots, for example. No one thinks they're going to be bad when they get their offense together. It's just a matter of Tom Brady has to get on the same page with all these receivers that are 14 years old, just out of grade school, it seems. You know, but once that happens, it's the Patriots. You assume that they're going to just take off like a rocket ship and rise to the top of the NFL, just like they always have. So do you agree with that? Is it more a matter of people of teams that don't have their offenses in sync, and therefore that just ruins everything more so than ever before?
Yeah, I mean, the overreaction part, it happens every year. I mean, let's not forget the Arizona Cardinals were 4-0 last year at one point, and that worked out really well for them too. I think a lot of this is a product of the, you know, I don't think the defenses are playing stellar, but I think the defenses are making the adjustment to the way that the game has to be played now. So it's just, you know, getting the hard hits when the hard hits are necessary. It's almost like you're going to let these teams move the ball because the rules are really set up to allow this almost arena style of play, just back and forth and up and down the field. So, you know, then it starts, when that field starts to compress, then you really start to see what's happening. You know, then you start to see things tighten up in the red zone, and I think you actually start to see some more of the defense. I think defenses now are more focused on holding teams to field goals than anything else. Like, you only get three on the board now, that's a big win. You don't see too many shutdown defenses just going out there and getting three outs. And a lot of these teams that are just going out there and doing that are just teams that are shooting themselves in the foot. You brought up Washington. I think Washington is probably the one team who's gotten the most hate so far because this whole RG3 thing is just so much fun to talk about. You know, should he be playing? Shouldn't he be playing? I almost feel a little ahead of my time for even bringing it up before we even saw the week two results, but we both saw Green Bay putting the whooping on him, and they did. And now, you know, once that happened, all of a sudden you start to see the backlash coming. So, you know, it feels like we were sort of catching this a little bit before it actually started to happen.
I definitely wanted to ask you about your RG3 opinion that you've said many times now that you don't think he actually should be playing. What do you think the solution should be there? What would you do if you were Mike Shanahan in that situation?
Well, since they can't go back in time, they can't jump in the Wayback Machine and go back to about 3 weeks ago and not let him be the starting quarterback with no preseason to speak of. He's really working himself basically through training camp right now. And in the NFL today, you can't allow your team to go 0-3 or 0-4 just waiting for a guy to get right. And especially if he's going to run the risk of getting injured because he's playing a style of football that he's not used to playing. I pointed that out. I actually used some stats. I didn't go too deep. But he's run this year so far for, I believe, 24 yards in the first game and then one against the Packers. So RG3 ran for 1 yard in an entire game against Green Bay, and that might have been by accident for all we know. Maybe he was about to get sacked and he fell over the line of scrimmage. But that's not his game. That would be like saying, you know, Mike Vick had 25 yards rushing through two games, or any of these other running quarterbacks, or Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick, any of these guys. That's just not their game. You know, they're going to get those numbers by accident. And RG3 is just not designed to stand back there and be a drop-back passer. I mean, look how well it worked for Vic after he had leg injuries and all these problems to come back and try to just stand in the pocket. And he just couldn't do it. And to come back so soon from injury, and I know this is 2 weeks in a row now we're talking about RG3, because the longer this keeps going, just the worse it's going to get. And, you can't take him out. It's going to wreck his confidence. Well, nothing's going to wreck his confidence more than getting pulled after 0-4 or 0-5.
Yeah, I don't know if we would talk about it too many weeks after this, but I definitely wanted to bring it up because I had been meaning to ask you last week about it and the week before when you first said that you didn't think RG3 should be playing, because I was really curious, what do you do then? Do you really go to Kirk Cousins and say, hey, RG3 is not the same and he's going to just practice and work the kinks out, and meanwhile we're going to go to Kirk Cousins? Because I don't know if that was an option. I really don't know if that would have went over at all, in the Washington fan base, in the locker room, with RG3 himself. His ego seems to be such that he's so fragile. I don't know how he would have responded or reacted to that. He might have thrown a hissy fit because he thinks he's the star of the show at all times. That's how he got himself in his position in the first place, trying to play the Cowboy and play that game against Seattle in the playoffs last year when he clearly was, you know, it's one thing to be less than 100%, but he was like 60 or 70%. Every time he turned the corner last year in that game trying to scramble, it looked like he was in slow motion. It looked like Fred Sanford trying to run out there. It was not anywhere near what he had been doing before. But that's why I brought it up. So I legitimately wanted to know, so would you have not let him start week one, or would you have gone back before then and said and insisted on him playing in preseason despite the fact that he said that he wasn't going to play in the preseason?
Yeah, I think with him missing the entire preseason, I would not have started the season with him out there. I would have started with Kirk Cousins, waited for that perfect moment when Kirk Cousins was faltering, and then made the switch, and then RG3 can come in and be in this big hero. But they may have won that first game if not for RG3. Probably would have lost to the Packers no matter what, because Aaron Rodgers had one of those Aaron Rodgers days and was just lighting up that defense of Washington's is pretty awful so far. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that the offense gets the ball and does nothing with it. Before both of these comebacks of RG3 have started, they were outscored 64-7 between Philadelphia and Green Bay. And when you're spotting the other team 57 points, you're not going to win a lot of games. I don't know if that might be statistically provable. I'm not a big stat guy, but I think if you're spotting another team 30 points a game, really tough to win.
I would think so. I don't have that stat on me. I'm looking around. I'm trying to see if I had it written down somewhere. I happen to misplace that one, but yeah, that's a pretty good bet. So anything else you want to get into? What else you want to talk about from week two?
Well, it was a fun week. I know I mentioned to you about what happened on Sunday, that last 10 minutes of those early games, watching the Buffalo-Carolina game, Miami and Indy, and then Houston and Tennessee, and those three games right there could have completely flipped my week and your week in terms of the picks. And that's just the beauty of what this is every week, is to have these handful of games that we disagree on, and sometimes the ones that we agree on because we're trying to prove a point. But the games that we disagree on, just the tiniest little things right at the end, or, you know, just make it so much fun. And it was a fun week. I had more fun the second week than I had the first week, because the first week was just so lopsided. I felt bad for you more than anything else. I was like almost hoping you'd win a game, especially being the first week of the especially the first week of the podcast, I'm like, oh, man, he looks like an idiot right now. You know?
Thanks. I need your pity. I was really looking forward to that.
No problem. Come on, I'm up 11 games. I got to enjoy this.
No, that is the NFL. You're right. It's it can go either way on so many of those games. It's like a hair's width, and that's really the whole point of the NFL is even a worse team, like, say, I don't know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, even that team theoretically is comprised of NFL talent. So they can have their moment in the sun at any given week, any given Sunday. I believe they made a movie about that. So that's exactly what makes it so much fun, is that you think you know who's got the advantage, you think you know who the better teams are, but so many times the team that you think is clearly the best does not get the victory, does not cover the spread, and that's just how it works sometimes. Was it Jim Mora? You think you know, but you don't know, and you never will. So I had to get the first Jim Mora reference in there.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
I thought you were him for a minute.
I thought we had our first
guest on the show.
I'm looking at the caller screen. I'm waiting for someone to call in, but I don't think it's going to happen. I haven't given out the guest number in a few weeks either. There's 3 or 4 minutes left in the show, so I'm going to give out the guest number. How about that? You like that move?
I think we should make a pick. Do we have to make a pick?
6-4. Oh, yeah, we do. 646-595-4534. But I wanted to give out the number just in case. Andy Reid Bowl tomorrow night. Kansas City 2-0 goes into Philadelphia 1-1. The Philadelphia love, as you pointed out, maybe drying up after this game Sunday. Everyone thought that they were just going to roll over the Chargers, and that didn't happen because, of course, as I said, the Chargers are the new New England Patriots. Kansas City gets the regular old hometown spread, KC +3 at Philadelphia. Jason, who you got?
I've got the Eagles here. I love that +3 for Kansas City. It feels like a value line here for me because I don't think that the Chiefs are going to be able to score enough points to win. And last time I checked, you have to score more points than the other team. The Eagles are going to be relentless on offense. San Diego was able to keep up and eventually prevail. Kansas City, not so much. That little dink and dunk Novocaine offense just might slow things down enough. But again, touchdowns win the game. Kansas City's probably going to have to settle for a few field goals. They do that 2 or 3 times. I actually see the Eagles winning here by 2 touchdowns. I'll go out on a limb here and say 31-17.
I concur. I like the Eagles. They did not lose that game because the offense all of a sudden bogged down and couldn't get the job done. They scored 30 points against the Chargers. They just got outscored. And I completely agree that Kansas City coming in and being the team to outscore that new Eagles offense for the second week in a row, that seems highly unlikely with Alex Smith at the helm. Refusing to go deep downfield, basically, which is pretty much what he did in San Francisco. So I'll take Michael Vick. Michael Vick has been unbelievable these first two games, and we think he's probably going to continue to stay unbelievable until he gets hurt, which should be any day now. Eagles 34-20. No doubt about that. I'll take Eagles 34-24 in a bit of a shootout. So that's going to do it. We got our pick in. We got an announcement to make about the next show, which is usually Saturday night to do our Week 3 picks. Special Friday show this week. Friday, 10 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock on the East Coast. We will be there on Friday evening this week. All our picks and all our recaps are on the blog, which is in muchlessdetail.blogspot.com. You can email the show in much less detail at gmail.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for In Much Less Detail. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at IMLDDre, and Jason is at IMLDJTG. This broadcast is copyrighted. We are out of here. We will see you this coming Friday night for week three of the NFL season, in which we will find out if I can possibly for once beat Jason in picks anytime this season. I am Dre, he is Jay. We are out of here. We will see you Friday night.